We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,308. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you, our Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click clack,
drinking to draw. All right, here we go as we head to Connecticut, where a man who did not want to pay rent chops off his landlord's head with a sword. Meanwhile, the president of Belarus, who said vodka could cure pandemic, ends up in the COVID-19 board. A school committee meeting on Zoom in Massachusetts. It's chock full of Franks and beans. Three jail inmates saved deputy after a heart attack and now enjoy bottomless supply of sardines. And the Dodgers are selling cutouts of fans' cats and dogs. More importantly, they tried to beam the Astros last night. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours and your side action upon request. Don't you hate it when no one believes you? Here you are telling the truth, and no matter the level of detail, the consistency, the memory, you're accused of lying or bending the truth at best. For example, a man came home from work one day to find his wife in tears because she couldn't find the cat. Well, he found the cat sleeping in a file cabinet. His wife accused him of locking the cat in the filing cabinet. He didn't, but she didn't believe him, and now they're divorced. Like I said, sometimes people just don't or won't believe you or your story because your story is just too dumb or unimaginable. Like if you're a kid or if your kid walks up to you as a parent and they say, I don't want to eat dinner tonight. Well, that's not too shocking. And you say, why not? You say, because there's a severed finger in my meat pie. Well, understandably, you're going to be skeptical up until you find a severed finger in their meat pie. This happened to a kid in Brazil when he bit into his food. And sometimes you have the kind of story that honestly, it would be suspicious, except that you have witnesses. There's a family of the woman who was attacked and killed by a great white shark off the coast of Maine. Maine, where there has never been a fatal shark attack. And this is a well-to-do woman. And this is the same place that you and your family go to every year for 4 or 5 months at a time. Sure, shark did. Well, guess what? Without witnesses, the authorities may have been a little skeptical, but no, That is precisely what happened. The fact that she's well off is why there was some suspicion at all. But a couple of kayakers, they saw the thing, tried to rescue her, but to no avail. But look, we've all got those stories, the ones that you almost hate to tell, but you feel the need to tell it, even though you know it's going to be met with some skepticism. And that's what today's question is. What is your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it?
Be part of Big Show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Over goes and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,308.
What a large and a charge program we have for you today.
Guaranteed future repeat. Oh boy. Return of Who Sucks Less coming up today. And we're also going to talk about some stories that when you tell the stories, people are like, how in the hell did this happen? This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard. It's not that they don't believe you.
But they don't believe you.
But at the time, the story seems somewhat unbelievable. Everybody has a story about a friend that is just absolutely insane. Something that happened to them. Something that happened in a group of situations. Whether it's a family situation. Whether it's something that happened to your father. Or any way you want to, I mean, you name it. You tell the story. People go, man, that is just the craziest thing. And just like, for example, here in our room, in our show, Ted fell off a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the story behind what happened to Ted is one of the most unbelievable stories you will ever hear in your life. It is just absolutely top to bottom crazy. Maybe if we have a little bit of time today during the show, we'll share that with you once again if you've never heard it, but it's insane. Steve, you have a ton of insane stories. I think the one where you woke up naked with a motorcycle helmet on in the yard in front of someone's home in the middle of downtown Baltimore and had no idea, A, where your clothes went.
Correct.
You did not drive a motorcycle.
Correct.
All of these things, and then you go and you try to knock on, you realize you're not too far away from your girlfriend's place.
Yes, two doors down.
Almost made it there. But the story itself seems unbelievable because I don't know how many of you out there have woken up with a motorcycle helmet on, completely naked, with cars honking at you, and not know where you are. This is an unbelievable story.
It's the worst part about that story is I don't know the important parts. I remember leaving the Christmas party at the boss's house. I'm going to walk to the girlfriend's house. I remember leaving, and then I woke up with a motorcycle helmet, lack of clothes. By the way, quick side note, when my clothes disappeared, whatever that situation was, my wallet was in there. I was always broke, so there was no cash, but that's the last time I have physically seen my Social Security card.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, obviously, if you listen to this show enough, you know for a fact that the fact that I've hit two hole-in-ones is unbelievable to everybody.
See, but no. No one believes
in the studio,
you.
Right.
There's a difference. Ted's
that's
story.
That's a true story.
People believe.
The question is,
my
what's your
story?
True?
People believe. Your story, both of them, no one believes it.
Yeah. Like you guys say, the sunshine burned in hell. That's not a true story. It's unbelievable.
Oh, no, that is true.
That is not true.
You're correct. We can't prove that.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's I also can't prove the existence of hell in general.
Okay. But if there is a hell, sunshine is
strong point. Strong point.
Your supposed hole-in-ones, though, should have proof with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have a scar on my head.
I'm still missing my Social Security card.
Yeah.
But the devil does not give you a certificate just because your dog is there.
I've still got my scorecard for my hole-in-one.
Why don't you bring it in?
I'll bring it in.
You said it for 15 years.
I have the damn thing somewhere. I just got to find where it is. I'm pretty sure I still
have it. In almost 20 years. Now I'm thinking about it.
It was an unbelievable day. Yeah. So we're going to talk about this story.
Yes, it was.
It seems unbelievable. Maybe it's a situation that happened to you and it has never happened to anyone else. And because we like sharks, but not necessarily all the stories that come our way with sharks or a few today, it was a 10-year-old kid who got bit in the foot
at Smyrna, New Smyrna Beach in Florida.
What is New Smyrna Beach nickname?
It is the shark bite capital of the world.
Right.
Of the world.
His story is not unbelievable, though. Like, you went into the water in a place that is notorious for the number of sharks.
All right.
You've been by a shark.
But here's the
deal.
I
believe that.
The mom is the one being quoted in the story, and in the picture that I saw, she's...
Yeah, the kid's quote is,
she's sitting in the hospital bed beside the kid. He looks like he's kind of sad. But either way, you know...
Oh, really? That kid has been by a shark.
You know, her comment is that, you know, we come here every year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beach we vacation at.
Sure.
You know, we always go swimming in the ocean, and I can't believe that you never think this is going to happen to you.
At the shark bite capital of the world.
That is correct. Like, yes. And I thought the same exact thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, I know that still, I understand, before everyone starts to, I understand statistically the odds of being attacked by a shark. Very, very slim. But just keep in mind, those statistics are in aggregates around the world.
Yeah.
When you go to the shark bite capital of the world, in that moment, the stats explode.
Sure.
Much more likely.
That is not unbelievable. I mean,
no.
It's like, let's just say I walked into Costco and all I wanted was a slice of pizza and a hot dog.
And you left with a new color TV.
If I walked out with a 62-inch television,
right,
along with that, wouldn't you be like, oh, I get it. That's believable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he only went in for a hot dog. But look, he walked out with a brand new TV. That's believable.
So I stopped going to Costco.
Especially at Costco. But either way, we head to Maine. And
I got to say, the shark bite thing to me is a little bit like hiking.
Like I saw a bear.
Yeah, or just... Like, a lot of people go hiking. Some people go hiking really big mountains and stuff, and it's always like, right, that won't happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's always stories of, like, you know, people roll ankles or slip and fall.
Sure.
And break a track.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, man, I know, statistically speaking, the odds are slim. But the moment you go hiking on a steep trail, then the statistic moves much more of the possibility of it happening. That's
absolutely
all.
It's like crows who know where the trash is and everything else. Look, don't think for 1 minute when you go camping, a bear can't smell you from 5 miles away.
Sure.
Don't think that a cougar hasn't been following you the entire time, waiting for you to go to bed so they can eat your food. They can smell everything on you. So, look, unless you put that stuff up top, the most terrifying thing for me of camping was always just going to sleep. Because what happens at night in the woods, all those sounds
stays
you hear,
at night.
I mean, you're hearing those sounds for a reason.
They've
been waiting for this. You know what I mean?
But again, I'm prepared for that in that moment because I know where I am.
Right, correct.
If I'm walking through, say, a downtown mall and I see a grizzly bear, then I'm like, wow, I'm not prepared for this.
Now, and if you are from the northeastern part of the country, you know for a fact that the farther you get north in New Jersey kind of supplies its own beach. As far as the residents of New Jersey, for the most part, if you are in anywhere from New York south, you're probably going to be in New Jersey. You might go down to Delaware, but anywhere north of that New York line, typically, unless you have a ton of money, it's very expensive to go to Rhode Island. It's very expensive to go to Massachusetts and some of those beaches out there. As far as the cost of living, a lot of those people then head to Maine. So Maine has been a vacation destination for a number of years, especially if you go up 95, the equivalent of I-5 on the West Coast. It goes top to bottom all the way down. That highway gets so backed up from Boston to Maine, at times you're on that road for 4 or 5 hours because traffic is just backed up going to Maine. Now, in the history of the state of Maine, there has never been a documented shark attack where someone has died. And that just happened this week. A former New York City fashion executive was killed by a shark off the coast of Maine, and apparently she just started screaming, as they say, as the beast attacked her.
That seems very reasonable.
According to a neighbor who was sitting on his deck and watched this go down.
Again, we got to use the word beast.
We do.
Is that too much, Miles? Can we call it a beast? Can we call the shark a beast?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because, look, okay, much like this area, she was wearing a wetsuit.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a black wetsuit, which is the same people do if they're in Indian Beach in Oregon surfing, or they're Tillamook, or they're in Ocean Shore, or whatever. They go out with a black wetsuit on. They look like a seal.
Sure.
If you asked the shark itself, what did you think you were trying to eat? The shark would say, the biggest seal that I've seen in a while.
What do you think seal calls sharks?
And he said,
Beast!
I'm sorry, I thought this was a seal. You know what I mean? Like, I am not a beast. This was an accident. You know what I mean? It's not like the hunter
shoots his
buddy because he thinks he looks like a deer.
Hers was not an accident because her attack was different. Most of the time that a great white shark attacks someone, takes a bite, thought you're a seal. My bad, you taste like crap. I swim away. Maybe you bleed out. This shark tried to eat this woman.
Before the Great White set its sights on Julie Holowek, she was giggling and laughing along with her daughter as the two swam together. They're only 20 yards off of Bailey Island. This is about 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, but seconds later, Holowek, who's a former president of a handbag company, Kipling North America, just started screaming for help. They told the paper she went under. The daughter tried to swim toward her. And then it looked like she was pulled under again. And then it looked like this thing punched her out of the water.
At the beginning of Jaws, the original movie.
When the shark punched her out of the water and she fell back in, the shark took her down. Okay? So another witness said that
At what point do you think he still thought it was a seal? That's all I'm saying.
I saw her lift out of the water again, about 12 to 18 inches. This is the guy sitting on the deck. After she was attacked, her daughter swam back to shore, where she collapsed to her hands and knees in the sand, started screaming for help. Two kayakers then went over and rushed to help her. Quote, "We saw what was in the water. We saw her condition. She was taken ashore, but before she even made it to shore, she was pronounced dead by paramedics who were already waiting there. She was wearing a wetsuit at the time, and according to the shark, was likely mistaken for a seal. Her death marked Maine's first fatal shark attack ever." So if you've been going to the beach, in Maine, and families do it for generations and generations, you've never heard of anything like this. This is unbelievable.
But that's what I'm making unbelievable, because if there were not, just think about it. This woman was kind of loaded, all right? You tried to convince the authorities that your wife or mother disappeared in a fatal shark attack in a place where it's never happened. I'm saying there's no chance they believe you. I'm saying 48 hours, 2020, Dateline, all of them. Did he actually kill his wife? Because there's never been a shark. Mm-hmm. They've been going there for years at 4 to 5 months at a clip. They always swim in the same place. Never been. But because she's loaded, I think they'd have been very suspicious. But as it turns out, I guess, fortunately, you got the guy on the deck and the two kayakers.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's not nearly as surprising because Cape Cod never had sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 10 years, with the resurgence that they did with the seals, they have a lot of shark. They have a lot of sharks.
And right.
They've had attacks. So even like last summer, if you watch Shark Week, that was the main point of it. It's like, they're like, dude, these great whites are going to Maine now.
I'm telling
like,
you, man.
You'll see them in Nova Scotia. I think we're just getting to a point, especially with stuff warming up. Like,
they're back.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, it is unheard of, but I don't know if I'd say it's like completely crazy.
No. I don't think it's completely crazy because it's the ocean. But beyond that, what's the one on National Geographic? Because it's not Shark Week. It is the one that's going on now, like Shark Month, Shark Bonanza, Shark whatever. But National Geographic Channel is all the better right now. And apparently, I don't know this to be true, but every time that I have flipped there in the last week and a half, the only show they have, and it's different episodes, and they're calling this their big shark thing. The only show is when sharks attack. When sharks attack. But there hasn't been any like, hey, we learned something new about sharks. Every show they have, I mean, one after just when sharks attack. So some of the stories you've heard, because they get notorious, but some of the more recent ones have been the same kind of situation where it's like, hey, typically sharks haven't been there, and we're trying to figure out why. To me, doesn't matter. If you know they're there, hang close to the beach.
Do you feel comfortable getting in the ocean?
I do. I do. Okay. I really do.
All right.
Because, again, I mean, it's, like I said, statistically, it is very, very, very unlikely. But obviously, the moment I step into the ocean, mm-hmm. I'm aware that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Most shark attacks happen when people are standing in waist-deep water.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather swim in freshwater.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Without question.
I'd rather be in the ocean.
Snapping turtle take off, you know, my big toe than I would have, you know what I mean?
Why would you rather be in freshwater? Is it because you're so worried about sharks? My black ass isn't even worried about sharks that much.
How about jellyfish?
Okay, well, that's fair.
Jellyfish, riptides, I get the beach and beach towns are fun, but
yeah.
I'll take lake house every day of the week.
Really?
Oh, me too.
Ocean beach. Give me the ocean beach.
I'm going lake.
I
think as far as using
the cries for help from the bloody water where someone's being mauled, I love it.
But as far as utilizing the water, it just seems like it's easier in a lake. It's easier to go water skiing, to go inner tubing.
But I'm not a water skier.
Canoeing or do any of that stuff.
But I'm just, right, and
yeah, what is your activity? For me, I just like to splash around the water, maybe you have around the kids, maybe you're throwing a football.
Sitting in an inner tube just off the dock.
Or maybe even if I'm just throwing, you know, like I almost said something offensive, like certain people would do in their big giant floating pink flamingos out there in the water, right? I got no problem with that, man. And I know this. Look, when we went to Hawaii, I don't know, 12 years ago, took surfing lessons, all right? And to me, that is the ultimate moment of looking like the seal, as they explain, all right? But you think about it, and I do remember the conversation with the surf instructor, because it's mostly hurry up and wait. He's kind of floating in the water. Are there sharks in the water? It's like, it's the ocean, bro. Of course there's sharks in the water, but it's just not something you can worry about. And I didn't. The first time I actually got upright on the surfboard and kind of made it all the way to the shore, I hit the one thing he said try not to hit, which is the black coral. Because when you hit, man, it just hurts.
Oh, it just, right?
It's not going to kill
you immediately.
But it hurts so bad. So I cut my knee a little bit. I am not gushing blood, but you always hear them say, the sharks can smell the drop of blood from outer space, bro. Right? So now I'm in the ocean and I'm paddling back after
like
to meet
bears.
Him. You know, like bears. She's on her period. So I'm swimming back out to, you know, like our launch point. The water's maybe 10, 12 feet deep there. But my leg's in the water because you're sitting on the board, so I can see the blood kind of ribboning off. Mm-hmm. And I look at the instructor again and say, hey, you know, seriously, I mean, like, my leg is cut a little bit. It's not awful, but, you know, a little bit of blood's coming out, man. Like, do I have to worry about sharks? He just kind of looks at me. He's real chill. He's like, we'll see, man. Like, well, that is not the
you're
response.
Chumming.
But I stayed out there.
Don't you worry,
there.
Chum.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the issue I have with
we'll
the ocean.
We'll see, man.
Yeah. Part of the ocean is my own stuff.
Obvious.
Like, I go to a lot of beach towns in my early 20s. We never even went to the beach. We just went, played miniature golf and drank at the bar.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different experience.
Our question, what is your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, just someone real quick says, hey, when I hit my hole-in-one, it had to be signed by two witnesses that were playing with me.
I got both signatures. I got all four signatures.
I just want to see them, bro. That's all we're asking to do.
Oh, Jesus. Do I really have to dig through all these boxes to find? You know I kept
it. It's been 20 years.
We
have moved 100 times, and somehow, in all of these moves, you found a bag of weed and a capsule of Metamucil and a box in a warehouse that looked like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You're right. You're right. It should be
But you
this.
Can't find your signed certificate for a hole.
It's elusive.
Hello?
And you're an organized dude.
I know. That's why I'm like, I really need to find this. I know. It's got to be somewhere.
Right? Like, yeah.
Hello, Manuel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are talking about the water sports and everything like that. Remind me about Monday about Andre. Wasn't it Andre messing up and not choosing the top 10 wrestlers of all time? Mm. I really want to listen to that one.
Mm.
But yeah, my unbelievable story was story sweet to the point was every time I tell the stories, people were asking questions. My first time, I didn't finish. It took 4 hours, and I still didn't finish.
When you lost your virginity?
The day that I lost my virginity, the process was 4 hours, and even then, I didn't finish.
What was the problem, do you think?
There was no problem. I was enjoying myself very much, but I don't know.
If you have an erection for 4 hours, I'll tell you to call the doctor.
I'm sure this did not make her very happy.
Well, she didn't know about it until like 2 years later, then I confessed.
Oh, okay. You didn't want to kill the mood?
So you're saying you faked it?
Oh, yeah, I kind of did.
Okay, so the only thing you have to confess to is the fact that, you know, you never got to the place that you wanted to go.
So, what, there's 60 minutes an hour. It took you, so 240. When I lost my virginity, in 240 minutes, I could have finished, as you say, 480 times. I mean, we're talking like, I was Usain Bolt. In, out, done. That was amazing.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I was ready to get right back in the game within like...
Yes!
It seemed like 30 seconds.
At what age does that change?
It could have been 5 minutes. I don't know, but I mean...
Right,
I
was, like when you were younger, you could it was like puke and rally, right?
Yeah.
You could get to completion, like, give me 15 seconds, I'm ready to go. Now, you get to completion, I want a cigarette and a nap.
Yeah, that's weird, man, because...
It sucks!
If I thought for 1 second, not that the bars are open, but that if I was drunk enough where I had to walk into the bathroom and puke... And then come back out and sit down. My initial thought would be, hey, I'm pretty messed up. I need to start walking home and get out of here, right? You know what I mean? But back in the day, if I threw up, I was like, oh, I'm good to go for more beer.
It was a badge of honor.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not going to feel nearly as bad tomorrow.
That's what people did.
Yeah.
It was actually advice. Dude, I'm getting drunk. I don't feel good. Like, dude, just go in the alley. Just puke.
If you've been drinking all day before a concert, just throw up before we get in there, and then we'll get a couple more beers, and you'll feel fine.
I'm not entirely past that point right now. Depending on... If something unexpected happens on the weekend, say later, right? Drinking all day, you're doing whatever you're doing. Count on the fact I'm drinking all day on the weekend. But then someone says, hey, man, you want to get together like 7? Like, it's 4:30. And I'm like half in the bag. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to keep drinking, man. Get up and find
it. Yeah, I'm usually a nap guy.
You'll do the nap.
But will you wake up?
You know, sometimes somebody's banging on your slider on your back.
Oh, because they're supposed
for
to
how long?
Right? Just for, you know, just a couple bangs.
And like, you got to jump in the shower real quick just to wake up, though, right?
Can't remember if I did or not. This was a few months ago.
So I feel like the waking up.
But it was definitely
tough,
like,
man.
I had lunch with a buddy. We had sushi. I had quite a few IPAs. And then, yeah, I was like, dude, I'm just going to lay down for a minute. And then, yeah, I just woke up. I was like, well, all right.
How many hours have passed?
Oh, like 90 minutes.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad. Our question, what's your true story that seemed unbelievable? Well, when you tell it. 206-421-ROCK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Here's a true story that seems unbelievable. A 39-year-old guy in Deer Park, Illinois, peed in the bed on Sunday night. Something we've all done.
It's not so much that I peed in the bed. I got out of bed, but I was drunk enough that I turned around and peed, I like to say, on the bed.
I peed all over the corner of a brand new mattress one night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first a king-size bed, and then I stood up and peed all over.
And no matter what the reason was, and I wasn't even drunk. I just woke
really?
Up. I was seriously just sleepwalking.
I was hammered, at least.
I knew I was going to the bathroom, and I knew that was perfectly fine.
No, you knew you were urinating.
I just didn't know where I was. Well, he peed the bed, and no matter what the reason was, his 39-year-old girlfriend, whose name is Bofanery Ohm, was not happy. So she grabbed a machete.
With her name or him?
That I guess was just laying around. Apparently, this is the new lifestyle. Ted leads it as well. And she hit her boyfriend in the head with a machete. Fortunately, she hit him with a flat part, not the blade, but still, he was taken to the hospital with a serious head injury. It did open up his head. And she was arrested on two felony battery counts. Why did you take a machete to the head? Because I peed the bed. What's your true story that seems unbelievable? 206-421-ROCK.
Sounds like something Al Sharpton would say. Mm-hmm. If you pee in the bed, let's bring the machete to the head. Then the house rules.
Every time I pull out that machete, I get the same reaction.
Why do you have a machete? This? Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be the question. Why do you have it?
Right, because you don't have, like, weeds to chop down or anything like that.
No.
Do you sharpen the machete?
No.
All right.
I have, like, the sharpeners you can use for your knives.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd put a machete on it.
Based on the purposes that you have the machete, it doesn't matter if you've sharpened it. Like, if someone pulls out a machete at me, I'm like, that looks awfully dull. It's fine.
Right. S has hit the fan.
Yes.
At a certain point, if I'm at my back door with the machete, things have gotten really bad, and we've reached
well,
that point.
Right. Last night, I have a meat cleaver, and it's been a little... Yeah, I haven't really used it very often.
Sure.
And I had to, you know, chop up some chicken.
Yeah,
so.
It's a meat cleaver.
So, me, you know, I get a little high, and I'm like, I gotta sharpen this thing. Now I've got a weapon. Because
mm-hmm.
I sharpened it for about 15 minutes. This thing,
you were high.
This thing is violently brutal right now. Like, I think this is all I need. You know what I mean? I just keep that beside my bed, man. If anything happens, man, I got that meat cleaver. It's going straight to the artery.
So don't want to keep it by the bed. Are they going to make the way all the way to my bedroom?
But then I think about it, and I'm like, okay, someone breaks into my house, right?
All right.
Do I want to knock them out with the backside of that? Because I don't want them to bleed out and then ruin my carpet.
That's always a thing to consider.
Now, if we're on the hardwood, no questions asked. But in the carpet, I mean, that's
but Ted, you're renting.
That's not coming out.
It's different. It's different, man.
I'm going to replace
it. It's life or death.
I call.
You're not going to care about your carpet.
Hang on, fella.
I know we're going to fight to the death.
Let me get a shower curtain.
Can I put this plastic down?
But I think that is a good sign of intimidation. Like, oh, we can tangle. Let me get some plastic for you.
Yeah, seriously, man.
I don't want to mess with that guy.
I don't want the carpet cleaner here anymore. Because every time the carpet cleaner comes, my carpet bubbles up more. It gets those lines in. It looks like it needs to be stretched out.
You then they'll say something like, it looks like you murdered someone.
It does smell very nice, though, when they leave.
Oh, it does. Oh, it's amazing. What's your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it? 206-421-ROCK.
And it looks like you had a little Zamboni in there.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I nailed George Bush Sr. while he was president behind the ear with a big fat spit wad. It stuck really good, too.
You did what now?
I nailed George Bush Sr. with a giant spit wad behind the ear in front of a whole bunch of people that luckily didn't apparently notice.
How did you pull this off? Because I feel like assaulting a president just doesn't matter what it is. It's more trouble than
totally
it might
agree.
Be.
I remember his.
Well, now wait. Were you trying to, or did it just happen to hit him there?
Sort of both. I was a courier in D.C., a bicycle courier, and I had been just coming off of lunch, and they had a super rush job for me, and to bring blank tapes to a reporter who was an idiot and forgot his blank tapes. So I, on the way, was chewing on my receipt from lunch like a piece of gum. Mm-hmm. I really don't know why. I was 20 and an idiot, I guess. Right. And so I hand the guy his tapes, and we're like along a hallway in the Capitol building, and all the Klieg lights and reporters are all lined up. And my right arm, without bothering to consult the rest of me, proceeds to flick this giant gooey spit wad I've been chewing on for like 15 minutes. And it flies right up and smacks him right behind the right earlobe and sticks.
So you did not mean, you did not mean to do this.
I sort well. I aimed at him, but like I didn't consciously do that.
Right,
like,
you didn't expect it to hit him. You're just like, yeah, right. I got you. I got you.
And so what I see in like all of a sudden, I just realize there's this glowing white ball moving in slow motion to me across all these incredibly bright lights. I figured they thought I was like some sort of Soviet spy trying to kill him with shellfish toxin or something.
Oh, that's right. He's allergic to shellfish.
But he didn't even flinch. And I turned around and left immediately and proceeded to go get very, very, very nervous somewhere else.
Yeah, I would have too.
I'm pretty sure somebody hit me with a spitball behind my ear.
I do remember when his...
Well, this is back when he was on Howdall and stuff, which is Thorazine Light. So he may just not have noticed at all.
Mm-hmm. I do remember his son getting a shoe thrown at him someplace when he was giving a speech. And I mean,
he ducked.
He did. He had lightning reflexes. Got out of the way. Like,
I'd move too.
Miss me.
Try to get you.
Miss me, bitch.
Yeah, that guy's story though, man. As soon as that hit, like, you got to be scared.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as somebody that grew up in D.C., worked at AFL-CIO, right? Which is across Lafayette Park from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you did anything on our roof, which was six floors. That's it. Boom, Secret Service would call you. I mean, like, so that's the whole thing. Like, you go to inaugurations and stuff, like, you think you can see the Secret Service.
You
can see a bunch of them, but they are all over the place.
I got followed. We were trying to return a car to, what's the area? Is it Reagan? Right downtown, whatever it is. And
Reagan's right across the river.
Right, okay. So we had rented a car, and the problem was, if you don't know this part of the country, understood, there's a place called Crystal City that is right next to D.C., but to actually get to it is very difficult if you don't know the directions. But our flight is like a 6 a.m. flight, so this is like now 4 in the morning. We just want to get the rental car back, and we know we have to go to this place called Crystal City, and you can see it, right? You can see it. He's got to figure out how to get there. So we can't figure out how to get there, so we are now circling around D.C. And every time we
is it hard to get to, but there's if you miss it, then you're stuck on this like expressway that she
I know, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
That was our experience, but we realized. So we called the rental place because I'm looking in the rearview mirror now, and there are several black SUVs a decent distance away, but they are understandably suspicious because as far as they know, there's one car on the road, and it is us. I mean, there is nothing on the road, just us. I'm sure they've already run the plates. They know it's a rental, which makes everything look more suspicious, right?
Sure.
And we are just going in circles in a very highly government-sensitive area of the country. And, again, it's about 4:15 in the morning, and more of these SUVs are behind us. And it's crazy because, like I said, it's not like they're right in the rear view, but we realize, like, they're all driving at the same speed like a car commercial. They've got all the lanes, so, like, whatever we try to do. And the whole thing is, like, we're not trying to do any goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to get the car. So we call the car rental place. The guy answered the phone. We said, hey, man, we've got the car. We just want to return it. And he said, yeah, no problem. We said, listen, the problem is this. We can't find the exit to get to Crystal City. It's not even labeled that way. But so we're circling around, man. And so how should we get there? His response, man, honestly, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just know how I get there. from where he lives, but he didn't live from the direction we're coming. So I was like, I don't know. Mm. It took about 45 minutes. We finally managed to drop this car off. And I mean, when we dropped it off and, you know, you walk inside and when we walk back out to get the little shuttle bus to go to the airport, you can see several of these SUVs parked. Like, I mean, they're still keeping their eye on you because they still don't know what we're up to. And eventually we just boarded our flight and came home. Yeah. But it was, it's kind of a creepy thing. I'm like, I don't like this. And every time we did another circle, like two or three more behind us, I'm like, this is going to end poorly because I can't find a goddamn exit to give them their car back. By the way, it was a Chrysler Sebring, which is a horrible car. Like, I just want to give them their car.
I had a weird experience at a rental car agency.
You know, that's where I went to broadcast school.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird.
Where? Crystal City?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Really?
There's a whole, like, underground area. Like, half the city's underground. And there's, like, shops and, like, the metro stops in there.
Get out of here.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Never knew that.
Next I went stop, to, take the metro.
I should have called your ass.
I was on a family vacation on the East Coast and was bringing my rental car back to BWI Airport. Mm-hmm. Typically, BWI Airport has a satellite rental car place that is pretty good ways away from the actual airport. As you know, in Seattle, you can walk down that ramp, and you're somewhat close. It's not real close, but this is way far away. Like, you got to get on the interstate. Yeah. You got to drive down the road, whatever. So we pull in a little bit early because we know for a fact that we still have to get on a shuttle, go to the airport, et cetera, et cetera. When you pull into your rental car slot, you see the name of the rental car company. You pull in. There's like three lines, and there's a guy who's waiting for you.
Right.
Now, typically what you do is, as you know, you pull the rental car in, but you give it about 3 or 4 feet, and that's about it. You get close enough, they get into the trunk, but they want to try to fit as many cars in there as they can because people are piling in on the weekends and everything else. And so this guy starts walking toward me, and he puts his hand up to stop. Well, instinctually, I just keep moving forward.
Right.
Because I'm still trying to get within 5 feet. I'm 25 feet away from this car. And he's stopping me, puts his hands up, you know, and I'm like, what the hell? So I cut the engine and everything, and I park it. I figure, all right, he wants me to park it here. And he comes up, and he's really, really nonchalant. And he goes, hey, man, how was your weekend? How was the car? Was everything okay with it? And I was like, yeah, man, no problem. So I said, no, stay in the car for a second, because I was starting to get out of the car. He said, I just want you to know that the gentleman in front of you robbed a bank in Philadelphia, and they're returning the car now, but the cops are on their way. I need you to quickly take all of your bags out and leave this premises immediately, and we will email you your receipt. Please step out of the car and act like you don't know anything that's going on right now. And we're like, looking at each other like, is this for real? And so, man, we bolted out. I mean, we didn't hear any sirens or anything like that on the way to the airport. You had to walk a little way, you know, to get on the shuttle. We didn't hear any of that crap. But apparently the guys in front of us had robbed a bank in Philly and then drove all the way back down to Baltimore to return the car.
I like how calling me going, hey.
And they were in front, hey, but he's real nice about, hey, these guys up here just robbed a bank in Philadelphia. So we're going to act real cool and we're going to get your bags out of here and you're going to walk out of here as fast as you can. I might follow you.
Okay.
He's like, okay.
Get on the bus.
What's your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Melody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so this story is not as fun as Manuel's story about losing his virginity. In fact, I don't see it as losing my virginity. More so, I just accidentally popped my cherry at a very young age, very quickly, painfully, and accidentally.
Was it a sneeze?
Does this mean you fell on something?
Yeah. So in my neighborhood, there was a lot of hills, and we all would ride our bikes from one part of the hill, the top of the hill, down to the bottom. And I was only 8 years old, so I just had this dinky little bike that just wouldn't go as fast as all the other kids' bikes, you know. So I wanted to go fast. And I convinced one of the older boys, I think he was 10 or 11, which, you know, seemed way old to me. I got to ride his Stingray down the hill. But the Stingray didn't have a seat on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez. Oh, man.
Flying down the hill. residential area, and right at the T at the end of the road, like right where we put the brakes on and what have you, they had done some road work, so there was this divot in the road, and I just went, bam, bam, bam. It was very painful, and I remember going to the doctor with my mom, and the doctor asking her a lot of questions, like,
what's your stepdad's name?
That's the true story.
I will say, I don't have a vagina, and I clench my legs listening to it.
Yeah, as soon as you said just the C-post there,
Let me ask you this, and this is personal, but it's also very stupid, but as far as women losing their virginity, obviously, having the hymen broken is a painful thing, and we hear this, but yours, I mean, does it grow back? Was it gone for good? And did that have an impact on actually the first time you had sex?
No, it was never that painful ever again. And I do remember the pain, because there's a different mood when you're actually wanting to do that.
Absolutely,
shockingly, something just goes into your body.
Yeah, I follow you.
I don't know. We're 100%, like, under normal circumstances, someone biting me might be upsetting, but, you know.
Good times.
If the mood is right, you're like, all right, man, you know, dig in.
What's your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it? 206-421-ROCK.
I mean, listen.
You're right. I have no idea what that would feel like, but I feel for
I have clenched everything I've got. Apparently, I have a phantom vagina. Mm-hmm. I would just say, Melody, I appreciate your call. Please never call back. I mean, that was awful.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to children. Who would ever get on a bicycle that didn't have a bike seat on it?
Only kids.
You just do what you got.
Only kids. Kids are the only people.
Throw a tennis ball up on the wall because I had nothing else to do.
And you know what? Because they haven't done what she did yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. You play a tennis ball, you're playing catch with yourself. Yeah. We've all done that.
If it's
that.
A live hand grenade.
I'm just right. saying, right. You're like, oh, I'll just sit right here.
By the way, this is for you, Miles. It says, hey, Miles, tell Steve and Ted to F off. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. That'll get us far.
I have a hole-in-one, and I also never received a certificate. But I do have the scorecard and a ball. Find the goddamn card so they'll shut up.
Yeah.
That's from Sven.
Is that one full message?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. I just got to find it. I know it's somewhere.
I don't know where my imaginary friend is.
I have a huge, huge place.
Yeah.
That's it. Big.
And you're so unorganized.
It's so big.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I don't recall.
Right. I got like 8 bedrooms in my spread. You have no idea how ballin' I am.
Hello, Dominique. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
So my story happened a couple years ago. My boyfriend and I went down to Portland, which is where I was born and raised. And we were at a company party, and we decided to go to a strip club. And the one strip club we went to was closed, so we decided to go to this hole-in-the-wall one. And we walk in, and there's probably the ugliest stripper I've ever seen. She looked like she had 6 kids, just, you know, stretch marks, everything wrong going. Then, standing at the bar, it's probably the hottest black stripper I've ever seen. So we sit down at the rack and order a couple drinks, and pretty soon she gets up and dance, and then another black stripper comes in and starts dancing too, and so we decide to get a couple lap dances from these two girls, and it turns out they're cousins, and they ask us if we're swingers. And well, my boyfriend and I, we've been looking for a girl. I've never had a threesome, but I'm interested in it. And so we tell them that, and they say, well, we're your girls. So we get our lap dances, and she gives my boyfriend her number, and we go back to the company party and play some, there was like a casino game thing, and we play some cards and go back up to our room. And pretty soon the stripper and my boyfriend start texting. And about 45 minutes later, they both show up. And let's just say it was like a little train thing going on.
Oh, really? Are we taking, we've actually, Dominique, taken the train to Portland before. So we know exactly what you're talking about. $40 each way on Amtrak.
Well, yeah. When I take the train, it's a little bit more expensive.
Oh, really? What's $40? Oh, man, you got ripped off.
Big spender, yeah.
Exactly.
So how long did this last, and was it a one-time-only deal, or did you get to do it again?
Well, and the funny part is my boyfriend's 5 foot, and I'm 6 foot. And the strippers kept calling him Big Daddy. And he was pretty excited, and it didn't last as long as I would have liked, but
no, wait.
He's got a lot to tackle there.
But hold on. But if he tags out, does that have to ruin the fun for you? You know, if he's done and he needs his cigarette, I mean, can't you keep going?
Yeah, I did for a while, but it, you know, it just wasn't, it was kind of.
I know you're with two cousins.
Yeah, whatever.
It hasn't long enough.
I'd be okay, like, sorry, you ran out of gas, champ. I'm,
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to keep going. I got something
can
in the tank.
Can you blame the guy?
No.
I blame you for worrying about it. I'll just put your dad is on you. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely get it. But I'm not stopping. Because if we're running a race and you get a cramp and keep going, like, I'm going to the finish line, bro.
I'll tell you what, there's no normal.
I was to the finish line.
All right, you're good.
I'm 40. How many times I was
You done? Never had sex with me. It takes forever because I'm terrible. Let me ask you this. Was it Mary's Strip Club?
No.
Okay. Somebody was guessing Mary's Strip Club in Portland.
Nobody goes to Portland and just says, oh, it was lovely. We walked around, went to dinner, came back. Portland's always like, oh, man, let me tell you what happened.
I don't know what it is about that town.
It depends on who you go with.
Right? Even with your mom, it's a little
different. I've been with family. You can just go to Portland. I've been down there to see soccer games. Like, just go take
it. Drive right back.
Right. But yeah, I went down there with family. We hung out for a couple of days.
Okay. All right. And it was normal?
Yes.
Okay. Does that mean you went with your mom, probably?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, all right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you travel with your mom.
I mean, if I'm with my mom, my story is always different.
Like, most people only go for bachelor parties or with two other dudes. Right, exactly. So it's like, Portland can be crazy, but it depends on the energy you put in, energy you get out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dad. What is your true story that seems unbelievable when you tell it? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.